We're holding on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kol menachas hanasis b'kli, all menachas that are made in a keli, and we'll see in the Gemara what that as a, and we'll see in the Gemara as opposed to what. So Tu'unas Shloisha Matnas Shemen, they require three applications of oil. Yitzika, first of all, you pour oil into the container where you're going to be making the mincha, into the bowl where you're going to be making the mincha, uvlila. Then you put in the flour, and then you mix the oil, and then you mix the oil with the flour. Yitzika is where you pour, Yitzika, pouring, uvlila, and mixing, and putting oil in the keli first. In other words, first what you do is you put in oil. Then you put in the flour. Then you start kneading it. And we learned earlier in the Masechta that they knead it with warm water because the amount of oil wouldn't necessarily be enough, for you have any soda and a flour and only a lug of oil, which is not really enough to mix it thoroughly. So you had water in there as well, warm water. So they'd pour in oil. Matam shemim b'kli kodem la'asiyasan is you pour in oil first. Then the flour, then you mix them together, and then you put more oil, and mix them together, and then you put more oil on top afterwards. So there's three times when you put in oil. So regular Rashi explains, in other words, I mean, so the Mishnah seems to be phrasing it backwards. What it means is, in other words, because it's putting the Matan Shem and the Kli Kodem La'asiyasan first, what the Mishnah means is, by the time you do the pouring, you already have that the mixing has been done, and before that, you also have that the oil has been poured into the keli. So the Mishnah is listing them in reverse order, but that's what it means, in other words. As we'll learn in the Gemara, why there are these three different times when the oil is placed. What we mean is, in other words, out of the entire isarin, you have an isarin of oil, you put a certain amount each of those three times. Now, chalos bolalon. Now, what about when you're bringing a mincha? What about when you bring a mincha of chalos? When do you do the mixing? Only after they're baked. Meaning that Rebbe. This is what Rebbe says. Meaning that Rebbe says after you, if you're going to bring chalos, you don't bring them, and you don't bring them to the Beis Hamikdash, or you don't bring them to the point of the korban of Knitza as whole loaves. Instead, what you do is you break them up into pieces, and then you mix, and then you mix the oil with them, and you do that final that mixing of oil you do with them at that point. You do it when it's still flour before it's made into chalos and baked. Next, Mishnah says, chalos tounin blila v'urakikin meshicha. You have two types of baked chalos. You have two types of baked mincha, chalos and rikikin. There's two different explanations what the difference is between them. One way of looking at it is that the only so regular Rashi over here explains. In fact, that's the only difference is how the oil is going to be applied. When and where the oil is going to be applied. But other than that, the size and shape of the loaves is still the same. On the other hand, Eben Ezra on the Pesukim says, and many other Mefoshim agree with him, that chalas are thick and rikikin are thin. In any case, the chalas tunis blila, the chalas have to be mixed with oil, or a kikin, as far as if a person is bringing a kikin, meshicha, then instead they're smeared with the oil, meaning there wouldn't be oil added to the dough. Instead, afterwards, you would take the oil and smear it on the outside of the kikin. So again, according to regular Rashi, not Rashi Saviyad, but the one that's printed in Rashi's spot, that would be the only difference when the oil is mixed in, whereas according to the Eben Ezra and many other Mefoshim, there would be the difference also that chalas are thick and rikikin are thin. Ketzev Moshchan, when we're saying that you smear them with oil, in what shape do you smear? Kimin ki. So you smear them as the shape of a key. Rashi says, Rashi and Rashi Xaviad over here both say that means ki is a Greek letter. Rashi Xaviad over here says that it's shaped like a letter tes. Rashi Ksavya describes, it's like if you take your thumb and spread it, you should take your thumb and an index finger and spread them, then that makes the approximate shape that we're talking about. So something like a Hebrew letter test, it would be something like an English and Greek letter C. There are an enormous number of explanations among Rishonim what exactly it looks like. Tosfos later on brings that in Chumash, Rashi says that it's like the shape of a gimel, and then Rashi says some say it's like a nun or a chuf. So you have a variety of different explanations that make it to basically be, it's closed in on three sides and open on the fourth. So it could be rounded like a letter C, or it could be squared off more like a letter nun or tes, or in another place it actually explains it looks like a ches. Then you have an explanation, and there are many prints of the Gemara that have in Rashi and also in the Rambam there are prints of it that have it shaped like a letter X rather, which the letter Chi, the Greek letter Chi, in fact looks like an X. I once saw an interesting idea that somebody wanted to claim maybe that is the true original meaning, Chi. Key would be the Greek letter Chi, which looks like an X. But once that kind of thing became a symbol of a different religion, then the Rishonim didn't want to really explain that's the meaning of it in this context. In any case, then you have there are explanations that it's a different Greek letter, which is also closed on three sides and open on the fourth, maybe lambda, maybe upsilon. There's a lot of different opinions and a lot of different diagrams that have been given. If we say that later on, the Gemara is going to explain that it's Ki Yavani, but there's also in some places a Giusa Kof Yavanis, a Greek Kof, which in that case, then for example, Kof is the 11th letter of our alphabet, is Lambda is the 11th letter of the Greek alphabet, so therefore that could be a reason why it would be called a Greek Kof, and so forth. There's quite a lot of discussion back and forth about, and there's also, somebody explained in the Rambam's Shita, the Rambam, in some places seems to define it as like an X, but there's an explanation that what the Rambam meant is actually a letter K, which could also be called a Greek Kof, because K is the Greek equivalent of the letter Kof. So there's quite a lot of explanations. Anyway, so that's how we smear the oil on the mat. The rest of the oil is eaten by the Kohenim that wasn't used for smearing on the Mincha, is eaten by the Kohenim. So the Gemara says, to start with, when the Mishnah is saying that all menachas that are made in a kavod have to have three times when the oil is poured in, as opposed to what kinds? It comes to exclude a mincha that's baked, because not everything of it is done in a kavod. Because you bake it and you bake it in an oven first, and then in particular Rashi Ksavyad explains that the Gemara is going to explain soon that in particular you don't do yitzika, you don't do the pouring of oil on the top of it. Instead, we have a focus in the Mishnah, Rebbe and the Chachamim, when you apply the oil to it, when it's still flour before you bake it, or after you crumble it up. But in any case, you don't have yitzika afterwards, as we'll learn soon. Tosfos points out, we talked about the other day, and we're going to discuss later in the Masechta, whether the oven in the Bais Hamikdash, where these things were baked, is considered a Kli Shoris or not. So all Gemara is, Father of Papa, is following the opinion that it does not, and therefore it's not a Kli Shoris, and therefore you can't say that something that's baked in an oven is completely made in a keli, as opposed to a baked or fried, as opposed to a fried mincha, the machmas and the mafeshes are Kli Shoris, and therefore that's made in a keli. So the Gemara says, turn around, bottom, we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, the minchas mafeshes korbanecha, if your korban is a minchas mafeshes, or a mincha baked in a deep pan, like we learned about before, that's fried in a deep pan, like we learned about before, so if your korban is a minchas mafeshes, solus vashem and te'ose, then it should be made of flour together with oil. So first of all, the fact that it says vashemen means melamed shetu'una matim shemen b'kli. It means that first of all, you need to put oil in the keli before you start making them. Vashemen te'ose, in other words, means Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad explain, or regular Rashi explains that it implies that you put the flour into the oil, so there's already oil there. Rashi Ksavyad explains it slightly differently, that it means that it should be placed, into the oil. So therefore, so it means you put the oil first, and then you put the flour into it. Now, then furthermore, so that tells us the first one, the matam shemen b'kli. Now, Korbanecha, Korbanecha l'gzeirasov. Now we have, when the pasuk says, by Minchas Mafcheshes and Minchas Mafas, both of them, the Torah uses the word Korbanecha, and therefore we have gzeirasov. Ma'kan, Ma'kan, Shemen B'kri, just like by the Minchas Mafcheshes, as we just said, you have to put oil in the keli first, Aflahalan, Ma'kan, Shemen B'kri, the same way by Minchas Mafas, you also have to do the same thing. And vice versa, now, just like by the Minchas Machlas, the Torah tells us that you have to pour oil on the top of it, and the Torah tells us that you have to mix in, that you have to mix in oil, because when it describes the Machlas, it says you have Sodas Glula Vashemen, it's flour mixed with oil, and then Vyatsakta Ala Hashemen, and then you should pour oil. So therefore, Malahalim Yitziko of Lila. So just like when it comes to the Machlas, you have those two steps as well, Yitziko and Lila. Afkan, the same thing by Minchas Mafeshes, Yitziko of Lila, then you also have the pouring of the oil on top, and before that, the blending in of the oil. Tosfos has some discussion over here that further on, the Gemara is going to explain that when it says the word Mincha, it comes to include all Menachas have this, all this factor, with the exception of the Beit Mincha, like we said before. So why do we need this Yerushalva over here? And Tosfos discusses various ins and outs of why we need this Yerushalva. Next, the Mishnah said chalas boil on Dibir Rebbe. Rebbe had said that you blend the chalas with flour after the fact, meaning again that you make the chalas, then you crumble them up, and then you mix them with oil. But Chum and Sodas, and the Chum say you do it when they're still in the form of raw flour before you make the dough. After you make the dough, but before you bake it. So the Gemara says turn around on them. The Posit says Solas Blura. The Posit says flour mixed. From here we see that it's mixed with oil while it's still sodas, while it's still fine flour. Rebbe on the chalas boron, whereas Rebbe says, as he said in the Mishnah, that you mix the oil in after the chalas shenemer, because the pasuk also says chalas bulus. The pasuk says that you make chalas and then it says mixed. So therefore, according to him, you have chalos first, and only afterwards you have blulus, you mix in the oil. So the Chum asked Rebbe, how could you say that it means that you're going to make the chalos and only then you're going to mix oil with them? What about the bread that comes with the korban toda, which we're going to talk about in more detail in the next parak, Bez Hashem? Nemer ben chalos, there also it says they get to bring chalos in this parasha. The EF shall boil on same chalos ela solus. And with those, it's impossible to mix them as chalos. They have to necessarily be mixed as solus, as the Gemara will explain soon. So once we say by the Torah that you can't mix the oil in when they're already chalos, then logically say the chalos should be the same thing. By a regular mincha that's baked, that's the same thing. You don't put the oil in afterwards, you put it in beforehand. So the Chacham says, so how do you do it? Regular Rashi says over here, we're talking specifically about Machlas and Machreshes. Rashi talks about that it means that it's talking about all Menachas. And the bit of Chichen Kubetas talks about that. It must mean all Menachas. When the Chum say mix the oil in as flour, then it would mean all Menachas. So how do you do it? No, as you said in the Mishnah, no sin shaman but three potem lasiyasan. First you put oil in the pavement before you start making them. The nosna, then you put the flour in, like we said before, because it says Vashemin Te'osa implying that the flour should be placed into the oil. The Nosin Shemin Allah, then you put oil, then you pour more oil on top of it, or Bola, and you mix it together, the Losha, and then you knead it with warm water, the Oifa, and you bake it, and then Uposa, then you break it up into pieces, as we're going to talk about on Omen Days, the Nosin Allah Shemin, and you put oil on it, the Poimits, and then you take the Poimits. According to the Chachamim, the point is that the mixing in the oil is done. Mixing in the oil of necessity, therefore, says the Chachamim, is done before the mincha is kneaded and baked, and not like Rebbe is saying after it was baked. So the Gemara says when we say e'efshar to kamulei, when the Chachamim are saying to Rebbe, it's impossible with the bread of the Torah to put in the oil afterwards. The kamulei Rebbe and Rabbanon Rebbe, maybe. What do they mean by that? In what way would it be more impossible? With the Torah than it is with anything else? And the answer is I'm going to shemo bar yitzchak rebius shemen, because you only have a quarter of a lug. You only have a rebius of oil to work with over here. You have, we're going to learn later on in the Sefta, that when you bring the bread of the Torah, you have 40 loaves of bread that come together with the Torah, with the Korban Torah. 30 of them are matzah, 10 each of 3 different types of matzah, and 10 of them are hummus, and altogether you have a half a lug of oil allotted for it. We're going to learn later on in the Sefta about that. Of that half a lug, half of it goes for the three types, of course, the three types of matzah, and the other half of it, so a revius, goes for the chametz talus. So you only have a revius, of course, the three types of matzah, and you divide that among the various types, you end up with only 1/8 of a lug of oil for the chalas. Now, a lug is around a pint, give or take. So you're talking 1/8 of that would be like 1.5 to 2 ounces. So you only have that small amount of oil that are going into the chalas. And how are you going to divide it up into so many chalas? You have 10 chalas. So you wouldn't really be able to mix. It's a mela if you mix in the oil when you're first making the chalas. Okay, well then you're making the dough. You put in a little oil and it gets mixed evenly throughout the dough. But if afterwards, I'm arguing, you want to say you're going to take the chalas and then you're going to break them up into pieces and apply oil to them. You don't really have enough oil to be able to cover all those chalas. So they point out that in the case of the Torah, it would be impossible, and therefore there's no reason we should think to do it by Mincha as well. Regular Rashi over here brings a different gusa, in fact, there's a Tosefta where Rebbe says, you know what, I agree with the Chachamim, they have a point. And that would mean that Rebbe changed his mind. But regular Rashi brings over here a Gersa that in the Gemara over here, that no, when the Chachamim say to Rebbe, by a Torah, it would be impossible. And the same thing, it could be impossible by any other Mincha. And the answer is that Rebbe would answer, you have a different Gersa over here, a different Gersa. In regular Rashi, that Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yitzchok answers, it's one thing by the Torah, it's impossible, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't say that it's possible by other menachos. So therefore, point to that, Rebbe would still stick to his opinion and say that in fact by other menachos we do that, we break them up, and only then do we apply the oil, as opposed to by a Torah, he says, fine, I agree, there's no other alternative. Okay. Next, we said chalas tunis v'lila. We said that the chalas have to be mixed with the oil, or a kikin mishicha, and the kikin are smeared with oil, like we talked about before. Either the difference is swiftly as far as when the oil is applied, or there's an actual difference in the thickness of them chalas being thicker than the kikin. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says chalas blulos. The pasuk says chalas that are mixed, from which we learn the loyra kikin blulin. From which we learn that the rikikin are not to be mixed with oil. So you don't mix the oil in. You don't mix the oil into them while you're still making them. You only smear it on afterwards. Why? You would think, well, you know, you would think to make the kavach claim. Well, ma chalas chain and tunis and kippa, ma the chalas which do not have to be smeared with oil, tunis blila, yet they do require oil to be mixed into the dough, or mixed into when they're broken up into pieces afterwards, a point of Rebbe. Rikikin shetunim mishikha, well then rikikin which require smearing of oil, ain't a dinshi or tunim blila, how much more so that they should require mixing as well? No, tamadlan, chalas blulas, follow rikikin blulin. That is why the passage says chalas that are mixed, in order to tell us, not rikikin that are mixed. Okay, then the other way around, and Braisa continues, rikikin mishukin, when it comes to rikikin, there's smearing of oil, but like chalas mishukas, and the chalas though are not smeared with oil. And again, we need to be told that, for the same reason in reverse, we would have thought to make a kavachom. Or ma rikikin chain and tunin blila, ma rikikin which don't require mixing of oil when they're being made, chonin meshicha, and yet they require smearing. Chalas chonis blulah and din chonis meshicha. And then chalas which require mixing, how much more so should also require meshicha? Tamadlema. Therefore, the pasuk is retikin meshuchin. Therefore, the pasuk says retikin that are smeared with oil, but like chalas meshucha is implying that the chalas are not that the chalas are not smeared with oil. So each one has its own different way of having the oil applied, but you don't do both of them between them. But the Gemara asks my Talmud, what requires us to say that? In other words, why taka don't we say that we learn one from the other? Maybe say it says one of them by one, and it says maybe we should say it says one of them by one, it says the other by the other, and we learn one from another. Just like we said before, for example, that we said before that by the machvas it says some details, and by the machfeshes it says the other details, and we learn one from another. Why don't we learn with a Gzeira Shava, but here, why don't we say that we learn with a Mamotzinu? Why don't we say that? Maybe Rashi explains a little differently, that it means that maybe you can say when it says Balula by one of them, it means that it says Balula by one of them, it means both of them. When it says Meshucha, it means one of them and it means the other one as well. So how do you know that not? And the answer is Amar Rava Lelishmit Velichtav Chalas Meshucha Sirakik and Bluvin. Because in that case, the pasuk wouldn't have every time the Torah talks about Chalas and Rakikin, every time it always uses the expression Chalas that are mixed and Rakikin that are smeared. Lelishmit, it's impossible. It would have forgotten to like even one time say something the other way around. And therefore, that must mean that each of these is Davka, the Chalas only one thing and the Rakikin only one thing. The Mishnah said, "Ketzav Moshchan Kiminki." So, how do we actually smear them with oil? The kikin that has to be smeared, Kiminki. So, we said we do it like a kiva, sham nachachola, and the rest of the oil that wasn't used for the smearing is eaten by the kohenim. So, Mao Kiminki, my Kiminki. What does that word ki mean? Amrafana Kiminki Yavani. It means like the Greek ki, which again we talked about before. Various explanations of what it means. It's either a tes or a ches or a gimel or a nun or a chaf. Or any among letters of the Aleph Beis and among Greek letters, it could be a chi, which looks like an X, could be lambda, which is like an upside down V, it could be epsilon, which is like an upside down U, and a variety of other explanations. One point is we find this kind of smearing was also done for the Kohenim when Moshe anointed the Kohenim also in this week's parasha also it says that he anointed them on their heads, and there you have the same argument of what the shape was. One thing is, according to the Girsa Kof Yevani, that it means a Greek Kof, the Ababonel talks about, after all, Kof is the abbreviation for Kohen, and therefore they had something which symbolized the letter Kof, according to any of the various possibilities that we were saying about what the actual shape of the letter was. So the Gemara goes on. Tananabon, we learn in a Braisa. Mincha ba mechta chalas and mechta rekikin. When you have a mincha which is part chalas and part rekikin, now we learned a couple of times over the last couple of brachim that according to the Shimon, such a thing is possible. It's possible that a person says, "I'm going to bring a mincha smafe tanu, a baked mincha," and he brings in half chalas and half rekikin. So now if a person does that, maybe lug shemen, so he brings the lug of oil, the chetzehu, and he divides it in half. Chetzel chalas, chetzel rekikin. One half of that lug goes for the chalas, and one half goes for the rekikin. And then how do you prepare them differently? The chalas, boilon, or rekikin moshchan. The chalas, again, as we said, you mix the oil in when you're first making them, or you mix it in afterwards, according to the idea, and you crumble them up. Or rekikin moshchan. And the rekikin, you smear them with oil. Now, what do you do in order to smear them? What you do is you smear the entire surface of the rokik. Now, meaning, in other words, unlike in the Mishnah, where we said that you do it in the shape of a Greek key, However, we define that letter. Rav Shimon is disagreeing with that and saying that you just smear the entire surface of the rocket with it. So Shara Shemen, as far as the rest of the oil, Machzir L'Chalas, then you put it together with the oil that you're going to be using to make the Chalas. Meaning, in other words, Rav Shimon would say, so again, you start out with a log. To begin with, you assume that you're going to be using half a log for the Chalas and half a log for the Rekikin. But now, in the end, it turns out, once you smear it on the rakikin, you find the rakikin are absorbent, so they'll absorb some of the oil, but not nearly half a lug. Then what you do is, let's say it turns out at the end, you only use a quarter of a lug so far, so fine, says Rav Shimon, and now take the remaining quarter of a lug, put it together with what you're going to use for the chalas, and then you're using three quarters of the lug for the chalas and one quarter for the rakikin. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rav Shimon Omer, but Rav Shimon ben Yehuda reports in the name of Rav Shimon differently. No, first of all, it's not that you smear. It's not that you smear the whole. Not that you smear the whole surface of it, but moshchan kamin ki. You smear the oil on them in the shape of a key, not the entire surface. Or shara shemen nechalakoyim, and the rest of the oil, instead of being put into the chalas, is just eaten by the koyim as a separate thing. So in other words, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is recording what we said in the Mishnah, what he said in our Mishnah in the name of Rav Shimon, but then we have, there's a different version of what Rav Shimon said, that is other Talmidim reported. There is furthermore difference, actually, the Keren Ora points out there is a difference also between, here we're talking about where it's rakikin that are together with chalas, where you have a mincha that's half chalas and half rakikin, whereas when you have rakikin that come by themselves, then in fact Rav Shimon is going to say differently. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach, we learn in a different braisa. Rekikin aboin b'fnei atzman. So yeah, when you have rekikin that come by themselves, when they're not together with chalas, but just as a mincha of its own, if 10 rekikin, maybe lug shemen, then you take the lug of oil, or moshchan v'chozer moshchan. Now what you do is you smear them oil and you smear them again and you smear them again and again. You keep on doing that. You take some of the oil and smear it on it. Wait till that gets absorbed. Smear it again and you keep on doing it. Actually, yichla kol shemen shabalug until you use up all the oil in the lug. So in other words, there would be a difference. When you have it's half chalas, half rakikin, again, following Rav Shimon's opinion that you could even do that in the first place. So now what you do is you use the rest of it for the chalas. But here, where you're only here, you don't have chalas, so you can't say you return it to the chalas. Now, since Rav Shimon holds that you don't have, the rest of it is not going to be eaten separately by the kohenim, then therefore he has no choice to say that you're going to have to smear it again and again and use up all the oil that way. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Shimon. On the other hand, here also Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rav Shimon, no, Moshchan Kamin Ki, you smear them in the shape of a ki, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the Kohenim. When the Rambam brings these halachas, now the Rambam does not pass them like Rav Shimon as far as the detail that you can bring half chalas and half rakikin, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rav Shimon, it's all chalas or all rakikin. So there's no such thing as using the rest of the oil that wasn't used for the rakikin and using it for the chalas, but you do have, the Rambam does bring it in, that you smear them again and again until you use up all the oil. That what you do is, you smear them again and again until you use up all the oil. Okay. Now that we made the mincha, now that we talked about how you pour the oil in and mix and make the mincha of any of the different types, so now the Mishnah continues. Kol menachas amnasas b'kli, any menachas that are made in a keli to onus psisa, they have to be broken up into pieces. So here we're just saying they require being broken up into pieces on Amud Beis. The next Mishnah will talk about how exactly that's done. The Shittimuk Rebetzis points out that if we're saying all menachas that are made in a keli means even a plain flour mincha. Because, in other words, even according to him, the idea would be you bake it, and then you break it up into pieces, and then you crumble it up into pieces, and then at that point you would, and that's how it would be done, as opposed to Rashi on the Psukim in Parshas Vayikra, just says that we're talking about that a flour mincha is just flour. It's not, it's made into a dough maybe, but it's not baked before you would do the koymets and all of that. So according to him, then when we say common office, we mean all the ones that are fried or baked. Okay, so the Gemara says l'mo'otim ha'ay, as opposed to what I was saying, is not broken up like that. So the answer is Amar Papa Lamor to Shteh Lechem Velechem Apanim. Means as opposed to the Shteh Lechem and the Lechem Apanim, those are made by being baked in an oven. Those are not made in a Kli Shoreis, and those do not have to be broken up. Again, because like we said before, the oven is not necessarily considered a Kli Shoreis. Now, Rashi, both regular Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad point out, you would think in that case the same thing should apply to a minchas mafetana or a baked mincha as well. Why do we say that one needs to be broken up? That the Gemara is going to explain soon, that we do have a ribui in the pasuk, that gets broken up as well. We just don't have one that should be, that should have oil poured over the top of it, like we said before. So that's how it is. So the Gemara says, "Turn on the bottom." We learn about it. So the pasuk says about a mincha. Pasuk says about a minchas machlas. Pasuk oisa pitim. The pasuk says break it up into pieces. V'yatzakta ala shaman and pour oil on it. Mincha hi, it is a mincha. They're talking about minchas machlas, yeah. So break it up into pieces, and then the pasuk says, "Pitim mincha." The pasuk says it is a mincha. So therefore, that implies, in other words, because it is a mincha, therefore it needs to be broken up. Therefore, we can learn from that. The rabbis, menachas lepsisa. From that, we learn that all kinds of menachas have to be broken up. Yochol shani marba ach shtei alechem v'lechem aponim. So you would think then to include also the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim, they should also have this din of being broken up. And after all, the lechem aponim is not really called a mincha, but nevertheless, in a more general way, the Sfasemis points out any time that any korban made out of flour can be called in the most general sense mincha, which is why our Masechta Menachos talks also about the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim and the details of them. So therefore, you would think to include them as well. Therefore the pasuk says oisa, break it up, which is a mute. So therefore, so it means it doesn't apply to certain menachas. And we would exclude the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim, which even if in the most general sense they can be called a mincha, but they're not more specifically really called a mincha. Next, the pasuk says v'yatzakta v'yatzakta shaman mincha hi. The pasuk says v'yatzakta shemen mincha. The pasuk also says now. The pasuk says after it says pasuk soisa pitim. Here, the whole pasuk goes like this: pasuk soisa pitim, break it up into pieces. V'yatzakta alar shaman and pour oil on it. Mincha hi, it is a mincha. So we're saying the word oisa by the breaking comes to tell us that shtei lechem and malachim aponim are not broken up. Now, when it says v'yatzakta shaman, when it says pour on it oil, mincha. So again, the pasuk is implying it pasuk a mincha. Therefore, it needs oil poured on it. L'rabas tol menachas v'yitzika. So from there, we learn that all menachas have to have oil poured on top of them in the process of making. Well, yochol shani marba af minchas mafe. So you would think that we include also a mincha that's baked. Tamad lema aleh hashomen. Therefore, the pasuk says, and here the pasuk is talking about a fried mincha, aleh hashomen on its oil. So therefore, the word aleh again is a mute, meaning that it doesn't apply to baked menachas. Otsias a chalas or otsias erikikin. On the other hand, you would think maybe it means that only chalas don't get oil poured on them, but maybe rikikin do, because we only have one miut, and maybe we'd say that miut applies to the chalas. Tamad lama he, therefore the pasuk says he, that we have actually two miutim. So therefore we have that it means not any kind that's baked in an oven, neither chalas nor rikikin. Rashi Ksavyan points out that you can't say here take out the lechem aponim or the shtei lechem because they don't have oil in them in the first place. So you can't even say that v'yatzak the shomen is even referring to them. So therefore, of necessity, the miut here in the pasuk from the word aleha and the word he has to be for regular menachas that are baked, which do indeed have oil in the mix, but you don't have the step of pouring of the oil. You mix in oil while they're being made. You pour oil into the keli ahead of time and you mix oil into them, but you don't pour oil on them afterwards. Well, the Gemara says, "My tumbler." Yeah, but what makes you force? What forces you to darshan that way? Maybe it comes to exclude a mincha of koyanim. Whereas we learned previously that there are no koyimets are taken from that, and it's completely eaten. So maybe you would say that's the case where the Torah is telling us don't pour oil on top of it. So how do we know that we're excluding the baked mincha from that? And the answer is Amar Rav, Ezer Udavash Tzarech Shnei Miyotin, because what kind of korban requires two miyotin, the word Aleha and the word He, Heavy Omer, Zum Minchas Ma'afeh. It must be a baked mincha, because you have two types that you could bring, Chalas and Rekikin, and therefore you can say one miyot goes for one, and the other miyot goes for the other, as opposed to if you say that it refers to a mincha of a koyin, then you don't really need two miyotin for that, and then you don't really need two miyotin for that. Now, Tosfos does discuss, we had a point earlier in Masechta when we talked about a different point, a different din with the mincha, about Hagosha, about touching it to the Mizbeach, where we said that we had two miyotim, one of which said that we not the Sheh Lechem and the Lechem upon him, and the other one not the Minchas Nisachim. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that it means, so fine, we don't need to exclude the Sheh Lechem and the Lechem upon him, because they don't have oil, like Rashi Ksaviyad said, but why don't we say that the two of them are Minchas Nisachim and Minchas Koyanim. And then we wouldn't have a miyot to say that it doesn't refer to a baked mincha. So Tosfos says the difference is because by Hagosha you actually have three miyotim, and here you only have two. And since you have two types of minchas nafka, then logically one of them refers to one and one of them, and then one of them refers to the other. Especially as the Taras HaKodesh explains within Tosfos, given that after all we also have a ribui in the pasuk that it should apply to all menachas because it does say mincha, and therefore we should assume that it's excluding as little as possible. Now that we said that you have to break it up, so the Gemara says, so how do you break it up? Minchas Yisrael, a mincha brought by a regular Yisrael, where a koymetz is going to be taken from it and offered on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is going to be eaten by the koyanim, koyfel echad b'shnayim l'shnayim l'arba. So what you do is you fold the mincha into the one mincha into two, and the two into four. Meaning we've learned before that all fried and baked menachas come as 10 chalas. So now what you do is each one of those two chalas you fold in half, and then you fold it in half again. Actually, so regular Rashi says toifel with a kuf is like toifel with a kaf. It means to fold it. Rashi Ksaviad instead says toifel means meshaber. It means you break it. So either you're folding it or you're breaking it one in the one into two and then two into four. Or mavdil, and you break apart the pieces. So each challah has been made into four small pieces. As it points out, as a practical matter, you need to do kmitza, and you're not going to be able to do it. If it's large chunks, and therefore you need to break it into fairly small pieces like that. If we think about it, a typical mincha is one isarin. An isarin is a shiur challah between about 3 and 5 pounds of flour, depending which posik you follow. Now we're saying you make that into it's a volume of 43 eggs, 43.2 eggs. Now you make 10 chalas out of it, so each one is the volume of about 4 1/3 eggs. Now we're taking each of those 10 chalas and folding it or breaking it into four parts, so each piece comes out approximately the volume of an egg. And then you do the kmitza. Now, we did learn earlier in the Masechta that the kmitza of a baked or fried mincha is actually fairly difficult because then you can't have any of it sticking out of the sides of the hand. The kohen has to brush off any excess using his thumb and using his finger. And when now we're saying you're going to end up with a piece the size of an egg or thereabouts, and to be able to use your thumb and your finger to break off and then rub off the parts on the end is actually fairly difficult. Now, continues the Mishnah, Minchas Koyanim, on the other hand, a mincha brought by Koyanim, where you don't need to do kmitza. Koyfel echad b'shnayim or shnayim l'arba. So again, you fold or break the one challah into two and then the two into four, the inim mavdo, but here you don't break them apart. Because anyway, it's going to be completely burnt on the mizbeach, so you do have the mitzvah chosis loisa pitzim, you have to break it into pieces, but nevertheless, you don't have to break apart the pieces because as a practical matter, you're not going to need to do kmitza. Now, then you have a third category, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, Loi Hoy Makafla. That one was not folded or broken at all. Um, So now regular Rashi explains the reason for that would be because it's unlike a regular mincha brought by a Kohen, which is something optional. Here it's a choiva, and there's no knitza, and the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, we don't fold it at all. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that actually it's not so. We do in fact break that up. We do in fact fold it up as well. So what does it mean? We'll see in the Gemara what it means. Reb Shimon says no. Minchas Koyin Mashiach. The mincha that was brought by a Koyin, even though it's going to be completely burnt, and the minchas Koyin Mashiach ain't behen psisa. So Reb Shimon says there's no psisa in them at all. Mifnei she'ain behen k'mitza, because no k'mitza is done for them. And Reb Shimon's rule is v'chol she'ain behen k'mitza ain't behen psisa. Whenever you're not doing k'mitza, you don't have to do psisa as well. So therefore, so he holds that the whole purpose of the psisa is that the breaking is to be able to break it up. So therefore, it is to be able to do the k'mitza. Well, if you're not doing the k'mitza anyway, then Reb Shimon says the pasuk would be telling you that there's no reason to do the psisa either. Now, we learned earlier in the parak, we said that when it comes to a mincha sechoyte of a koyin, when a koyin brings a mincha because of certain averus that he did, then Reb Shimon holds a koymitz is taken, and we said the koymitz is offered separately, and the shirayim are offered separately. So then by him, according to him, we would say that it has to be broken up. But not a regular mincha brought by koyin, he says. And Reb Shimon also says, "Cholam poitzen kezesin." Another point, Reb Shimon says, also, I disagree with the Tatakama. It's not enough to just break them into, it's not enough to just fold and break them into four. You actually have to break them, into pieces the size of a kezias. So in other words, you would have to make them much smaller. You would have to make much smaller pieces. Regular Rashi says two different explanations. So the first explanation is that he means that you have to keep on folding. It's not enough to just fold and break them. It's not enough to just fold and break them into four, because then you're going to still have fairly large chunks. You have to fold it into eight, into 16, until you have approximately a kezias in each piece. Regular Rashi's second explanation is that it means you can only break them down to the point of a kezias, but don't break them up any further than that. And then he gives a third explanation as well. The whole persistent kezasin means, again, you start off with 10 chalas, and each challah being broken into four, so each piece is going to be only a kezias in size. According to that explanation, it means that the Reb Shimon just wants to inform us, and maybe according to this, it's not only Reb Shimon, the Tanakhama might agree as well. As a practical matter, when you fold each challah into four, then each piece is going to be a kezias. So again, the Tzion Kodshim wonders about that and says that if you make the calculation like we did before, it comes out each piece is going to be the size of a kebetza. The Taras HaKodesh gives an answer. He says that, so this is the Tzion Kodshim wonders about that. That Taras HaKodesh, answers that, that listen, you know what, you, we always know when you need flour and make dough, you end up with the volume of it is actually, the volume of it actually ends up being smaller. So then you're going to have each challah is, in fact, when you break it in four, is going to wind up on the kezias. And I'm still not sure what he means by that. Practically speaking, you make dough, it becomes larger, not smaller, but I don't know. So the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braise, so the pasuk says, the pasuk says that you should break up the mincha into pieces. Yochol l'shnayim. You would think that means you just break each one into two pieces. Talmud lema pitim. Therefore, the pasuk also says not just pasuk, but pitim, implying that you have to do another breaking. So not just breaking into two, but breaking into four. E pitim, but on the other hand, if it says pitim, maybe it means you should keep on breaking it even more. Yochol yasena pirurin, maybe you should break it up so much that you make it into crumbs. Talmud lema oisa. Therefore, the pasuk says it. So you make it into pieces, but you don't make the pieces into pieces. So you don't break it up so far as that it's going to become that it's going to be crumbled into that it's going to be crumbled. Okay, so what do you do? So as we said in the Mishnah, Minchas Yisrael Koyfal Echad B'Shnayim U'Shnayim Arba. If it's a Mincha of Yisrael, you fold it or break it, the one challah into two, and then the two into four. So you fold it, or break it twice. Okay, Rashi Ksavyat explains that Reb Shimon will say differently. Reb Shimon will say that the implication is that you have to make it, you have to keep on breaking it until you get it to pieces the size of a kazayis. So you do that. Umavdo, and you break up the pieces from one from another. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, like we said in the Mishnah, Minchas Koyanim, a Mincha that was brought by Koyanim, a Minchas Koyan Mashiach, and the Mincha that was brought by the Koyan Mashiach, the Koyan Gadol, every day. So then you divide it, you fold it up, but you don't divide it. On the side of it, you would shittim kubetzes. Says that girsa should be like we had in the Mishnah, that by minchas koyanim you divide it one and you not divide it, you fold it into four, but you don't divide up the pieces. And the minchas koyan mashiach, you fold it. Now the Mishnah had said the minchas koyan mashiach you don't fold, but the Braisa over here is saying that hoyim a kapla you do fold it. So the question is, but on Mishnah it said you don't. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, what it means is, ein makapel l'arba av makapel l'shnayim. Means you don't divide it into four parts, but you do divide it into two parts. Regular Rashi points out that practically speaking, the Minchas Kohen Gadol, as with the Minchas Chavitin, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you don't bring the whole Yisrael under a time. You bring half in the Yisrael in the morning and half in the afternoon. So as a practical matter, if you break each challah into two, if you fold each challah into two parts, then you're going to have pieces approximately the same size as you would by any other Mincha, which is made from an Yisrael that comes all together. Within that, by the way, you have Machlokas, Rashi, you have Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid about the Rambam learns that to begin with, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the Minchas Chavitin is made out of 12 challahs, unlike most other Menachos that are 10. So you have 12, the Rambam learns that then you take those 12, break each one in half, and offer half of each of the 12 in the morning and half of each of the 12 in the afternoon. As opposed to the Ravid holds that no, what it means is that you offer six whole ones in the morning and six whole ones in the afternoon. But again, as our Gemara is saying, before you offer each one of the six, you fold it in half. Next. The Mishnah said Reb Shimon Oyim Minchas Koyin and Minchas Koyin Mashiach Ein Ben Psisa B'chula. Reb Shimon had said that no, anytime there's no Knitza, then there's no Psisa, there's no breaking it up. And Reb Shimon had also said that you break them into kizesim, which again we had several different explanations what it means. One is that Reb Shimon is saying, unlike the Tanakama, that you break it down only as far as each one into four. Reb Shimon is saying keep on breaking them down until you get to a kizayis. As we had the other explanations in regular Rashi, that it means don't get them less than a kazayas, or it means that practically speaking, when you break it up, you're going to end up with each piece being only a kazayas. So now we're talking about broken up bread. So the Gemara says, let's talk about a relevant halacha as far as the halachas of brachas. So Omer Rav Yosef, I chavitza de ispei pirurin. So Rav Yosef says, when you have chavitza, the ispe perurin kezayis, which has pieces of bread in it the size of a kezayis. We'll explain what chavitza is in a second. So then Rabbi Yosef says, we would still say hamotzi on it because the pieces are all the size of a kezayis. What is chavitza? Regular Rashi has a word over here, shel rikikin, which literally means of wafers. So on the side over here, it says it's really supposed to be, this was a mistake by a copyist, it's really supposed to be a French word, shalnikuk, or selnikuk, or something like that. And then Rashi Ksavyad also has the same word. So it's some kind of dish in which they would put crumble, in which they would put broken pieces of bread. So sort of like croutons in a salad or something. So it has pieces of bread in it. Rashi elsewhere explains that then they would cook it. So they would use it. They would have like a soup with croutons in it, a soup cooked up with croutons in it. Tosfos over here discusses actually what it means is you take the bread and you break it up into pieces and then you stick them together and you stick them together like connecting them together with honey or fat or whatever, and then you fry them. So it means sort of like a version of French toast or something. Toast was also brings from the Oruch, that it means that you break up the bread into like crouton sized pieces or whatever, and then you pour soup on top of that. So whatever the case, Rabbi Yosef is saying that this kind of food, however exactly we define it, if the pieces of bread in it are still a kazayis inside, then Rabbi Yosef says you would say hamotzi on it. Lespit e lespit karun kazayis, but if it doesn't have, if none of the pieces are the size of a kazayis, says Rabbi Yosef, then he would say mezonis on it, because now it doesn't have the chashivus of, now it doesn't have the chashivus of bread anymore. Om Rabbi Yosef menah minolah, so Rabbi Yosef says, where do I get the hat? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hoya Omid Makrav Menachas Yerushalayim, if a person is standing and bringing Menachas in Yerushalayim, what do you mean in Yerushalayim? Where else are you going to be bringing Korbanos? So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that maybe we learned at the end of Zvachim, we had a focus whether you can bring a mincha on a bama on a private mizbeach during the time when such mizbeachas were mutter. So maybe the Braisa means only when you're doing in Yerushalayim is it considered a special status, but not when you're doing on a bama. There's no particular mitzvah. The Braisa is going to say that you say Shef Yonu on it. So therefore, maybe only in Yerushalayim would you say Shef Yonu on it. The Karen Oda gives a different explanation, that it means it's not even when you mock with the korban, it means as soon as you come into your shalim with the korban, then already is an appropriate time to say shechion. So a person is saying, is bringing a mincha, oimer baruch shechionu b'kimonu, then he says the baruch shechionu for the fact that he has the source now to bring this korban. Now, regular Rashi explains, why would he do that? I mean, doesn't a Koyan bring different many menachas during his lifetime? So regular Rashi says, in fact, we're talking about the first time that this Koyan is ever bringing a mincha. Regular Rashi says also it can be where it's a mincha, which is the first time of this kind of mincha this year, for example, the Oimer. Then he would be saying a Shech Yonu on that. So that would be a reason to say Shech Yonu on it. Rashi Ksavyad mentions another point as well. It could also be Yisrael, who never brought a mincha before, and now for the first time is bringing. So Rashi agrees. It can be when a Kohen is bringing a mincha for the first time in his life, but it can also be where Yisrael is bringing a mincha for the first time in his life. And according to that, he would also say Shech Yonu. Tosfos discusses a little bit and says maybe another possibility Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Shmaya, maybe Dafka by Mevi. In that case, why not any korban? So Rabbeinu Shmaya brings in Tosfos maybe only a mincha. People don't often bring menachas as a voluntary thing. But then the Tosefta says it's true of korbanos as well. So Tosfos gives another answer. Look, every mishmar of Koyanim would serve 1 week in the Bais Mikdash and then be replaced by the next one. And each mishmar is divided into bate of. So most of the time you would have each kohen belongs to only one base of. So typically a kohen then would have an opportunity to bring the korbanos at most twice a year. So therefore that would be a reason for him to say Shech Yonu on it as well. So in any case, so he's bringing a mincha in Yerushalayim, so he says Shech Yonu. Not Lama Oichlan. Then the Braisa continues, when the Koyan takes the mincha and is going to eat it, Oima HaMotzi Lacha Min Ha'aref, and he says the Bracha HaMotzi. He also makes a Bracha, Asher Kedushanim Ritzvayseh B'tzivonu, to eat the korban, but that's a different matter. We're not getting into that right now. The point is, says Rabbi Yosef, what's now the Koyan consists in Kazayas. Now, we said in the Mishnah that a mincha is broken up into pieces the size of a Kazayas. So, therefore, implying, so why is he saying Hamotzi? Because the pieces are the size of a Kazayas, implying that if it had been less than that, then he wouldn't be saying Hamotzi. So, therefore, on pieces the size of a Kazayas, you say Hamotzi. So there are two different ways of understanding exactly what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Is it, in other words, that it means had it been less than a kazayis, the Braisa is implying he wouldn't say the bracha hamotzi, and in that case, then Rabbi Yosef has a proof for the second part of his din, that if his chavitza has pieces less than a kazayis, you don't say hamotzi, but rather mezonis, or the other way of understanding it is that it means at least that we see from that on pieces of kazayis, you say hamotzi. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, why? What about the Tanah Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Dom and Falkon Ad Shemachzirim Sultan? But you also have though a Tanah of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that in fact with a mincha
you would keep breaking it up until you get it into crumbs that are that approximate the consistency of the original flour from which they were made. So according to him, it's not a matter of you break them down only into gazayas or whatever. You keep on breaking them down until you make them into solus again. So hochinami de lemavarcha motzi. Are you telling me according to that kana you wouldn't say a motzi on the pieces? V'chitema hochinami, and you're going to say, yeah, according to him, you wouldn't say a motzi. V'chitanya, but we learn another brayso. So look at the kulin kazayas, that now if a person takes a bunch of crumbs that are less than a kazayas and gathers them all together and makes them into a piece of kazayas, but ochlay, and he eats it on Pesach, im chometzu onush koris, if what he ate was chometz, then he's going to be chayiv koris, I, it wasn't one solid piece, it doesn't matter, he'd still be chayiv because he ate a kazayas, because he ate a kazayas of chometz, im matzahu, and if what he ate was matzah, odom yotzvan, he did chavosav a Pesach, then he'd be yotzah on Pesach again, even though it's crumbs. So we see that even crumbs, smaller than a kazayas, can still be called bread. Now this Gemara is also in Brachas, for obvious reasons, because we're talking about the halachas of Brachas. So Rashi in Brachas explains that we're talking about specifically a mincha. So we're talking about a mincha that was broken up into pieces smaller than a kazayas, even into crumbs, and now you gather together crumbs of it. But Rashi, Ksav Yad, and Tosfos, and here point out that doesn't work. A mincha can't be made chometz. We learned earlier in the Masechta. And also, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos adds that it wouldn't be yotza matzah in it either. The Gemara explains in Psachim that you can be yotza matzah only with something that could be eaten anywhere in the world, and therefore that excludes menachos, which you can only eat in the, which you can only eat in the Azara. So instead, Rashi Ksavyad and Tosfos explain that what it means is, if you gather together a little bit of all the chamesha saminim, we talked about a few yasim ago, that you can use any of the five species of grain for matzah in principle. So now, if a person had some crumbs of wheat matzah, and some crumbs of barley matzah, and so forth, and put them all together, then he would still be, well, if it was matzah, he'd be yotza on Pesach, and if it's chometz, he'd be chayiv koris for eating chometz on Pesach. In any case, the fact that we say that he's yotza matzah, that he's yotza, the mitzvah of matzah, implies that it's considered bread. So the answer is Hochmeister and Mishaerson. Fine, Rabbi Yosef says, we're talking about over here, where you took these crumbs and you kneaded them back together and made them into a kazayis. So therefore now it can be considered bread again. But when you have the chavitza, where the pieces are not, where the pieces are cooked and not stuck together, or even according to Tosfos, that they're stuck together and fried, but they're at least not baked. So when they're baked, then when they're baked back together, then Rabbi Yosef would agree that then that counts as bread. So Rabbi says, Ihochi, I'm the Katoni Allah. Well, then what about the Brayse continues? That this whole din that he'd be chayav for eating chometz or biyotze, the eating of matzah, would be if he ate it b'chdei achilas pras, as we know by eating matzah by the Seder, where you have the same rule. So, and in general, eating in halacha is considered when you eat a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, and you have the various opinions of the poskim how much that time is. So if he eats, so the Brayse says, if he eats it b'chdei achilas pras, only if he ate them b'chdei achilas pras. The Ibisha Erson, if you're telling me that he made it back into a dough and then connected them back together and baked them or whatever, then the Brayse should say that he ate it, because now it's one solid thing. Regular Rashi over here mentions a point that if you eat a b'chdei achilas pras, it just means that it doesn't mean, according to regular Rashi over here, doesn't mean that he had to eat the whole thing from beginning to end, b'chdei achilas pras. It just means there can't be a break between eating one part and the next, b'chdei achilas pras. But as long as he eats one part and then another part, b'chdei achilas pras of the first one, and a third one, b'chdei achilas pras of the second one, according to regular Rashi, he would in fact be yotze or chaya he would in fact be yotze matzah, Machaya for chometz, as the case may be. Many posts can disagree with that and say it means b'chdei achilas pras has to be the time from the beginning of the eating until the end of the eating, and that's how we have to have when we eat matzah. On Pesach, we have to be sure to eat from the beginning until the end has to be b'chdei achilas pras. Specifically from the beginning of the swallowing, from when you first swallowed, the beginning of your kazayas, until you finish swallowing that kazayas, has to be b'chdei achilas pras. So therefore, Yosef's answer doesn't work, that we're talking about the She'irsan, where he made it back into a dough-like thing and put them back together. Ella, so no, Rabbi Yosef gives a different answer. What we mean is, You have crumbs, but you have crumbs less than a kazayas, but you didn't break up the entire loaf of bread. You have part of the loaf is still intact, and then you have these smaller pieces. So now, because part of the loaf is still intact, then therefore the pieces are also considered to have chashivos. But when it comes to chavitza, where you don't have a whole loaf of an area, you have, however you make the chavitza, you have only broken up pieces of bread, then Rabbi Yosef says, I still maintain my opinion that there's a difference whether the pieces are less or more than a kazayis. Okay, well, the Gemara says, my havi halacha, what's the bottom line? What is the halacha about this? And the answer is, so the Gemara says, Rav Sheikh Yisam Akhila Pirur and Shein Ben Kazayis. No, even if pieces are smaller than a Kazayis, you would still make Hamotzi. And even if there's no large pieces of bread left. Omar Rava, Vahudi Ika Terisa Dinama Alayu. However, Rava says that's only if they still have the appearance of bread. When you, regular Rashi explains, if you've soaked them so much that now you can't recognize them as bread anymore, then in fact they would get downgraded to, Mizonis. And in particular, Tosfos in the relevant Gemara in Brachas says it means when you soak them in the water so much that the water turns white because of them, showing that the bread is really dissolving in the water. And that's the final halacha. So in any time you have some things, you have croutons in salad, you have French toast, you have different kinds of things like that. If it still resembles bread, then even though it's not in the regular form of bread anymore, but it still has the appearance of bread, then you would say hamotzi. And if it no longer has the appearance of bread, then in fact you would say mizonis. And this is also why you have, for example, noodles and things like that are also mizonis. They don't have the appearance of bread in the first place, and therefore there's no possibility of saying hamotzi on them. Even, for example, you make a meal out of noodles, you still wouldn't say hamotzi, as opposed to, for example, you have, let's say, pizza and pie and different things like that, they're in a different category. Pasta, baba, kisnin, there it really depends whether you make a meal out of them or not. But we're saying over here, ultimately, it doesn't depend whether the pieces are more or less than a kazayas in size, unlike what Rabbi Yosef had said, but rather the key thing is, does it still have the appearance of bread?